Welcome to Nightlights. I'm David Brent Johnson. San Francisco has been a hub of jazz since the early 20th century in the days of the Barbary Coast, with artists such as Dave Brubeck, Vince Guaraldi, John Handy, and Cal Jader contributing to its rich musical legacy, as well as clubs like the Blackhawk and Keystone Corner. We'll hear music from those artists and venues and more in the next hour, as well as a reading by writer Jack Kerouac that evokes the city in the years following the end of World War II. It's Jazz Scene San Francisco, coming up on this edition of Nightlights.
Open your golden gate. You let no stranger wait outside your door. San Francisco, here is your wandering one, saying I wander no more. Other places only make me love you best. Tell me you're the heart of all the golden west. San Francisco, welcome me home again. Other places only make me love you best. Tell me you're the heart of all the golden west.
Clarinetist, bandleader, and vocalist Woody Herman singing San Francisco, a song written by Gus Kahn, Bronislaw Kaper, and Walter German from the 1936 movie San Francisco, and one of the city's two official songs, along with I Left My Heart in San Francisco. Fog, Irish coffee, cable cars, hills, pretty girls, bridges, crazy restaurants, and jazz. That's what people think of when they hear San Francisco. So wrote Ralph Gleason in a 1960 issue of Downbeat magazine, in which he also noted that the word jazz had first been used in a San Francisco newspaper shortly before World War I began. Since then, the city has served as a birthplace or launching pad for numerous jazz artists, venues, record labels, radio stations, and writers of note, making a vibrant contribution to San Francisco's cultural legacy, long before it was a center of the psychedelic counterculture and its attendant rock groups. San Francisco was a West Coast haven for the development of jazz. One thing many people might not think of when they think of San Francisco is New Orleans jazz. But in the late 1930s and 40s, the city was a hotbed of trad jazz, a capital of the New Orleans revival, and its mayors were surely trumpeter Lou Waters and trombonist Turk Murphy. Waters formed the Yerba Buena Jazz Band in 1939, but the city's appreciation for the original New Orleans sound can be traced back to the 1920s, late teens, and even the Wild West years of the Barbary Coast era, when musicians such as Jelly Roll Morton and King Oliver either played or migrated to the city. After being rediscovered in the early 1940s, legendary New Orleans trumpeter Bunk Johnson traveled to San Francisco to record with Waters' Yerba Buena Band. That band held forth most frequently at the Dawn Club, where the motto was, "No tune played, written after 1929. Here's a 1946 air shot of the Yerba Buena Band performing Yerba Buena Strut at the Dawn Club on Nightlights.
Thank you.
Lou Waters' Yerba Buena Band performing Yerba Buena Strut, a radio broadcast from San Francisco's Dawn Club in the mid-1940s, an era when bebop was taking off on the East Coast. And though bebop found a home at the aptly named Bop City Club and in San Francisco's increasingly African-American Fillmore District, dubbed the Harlem of the West, San Francisco seemed behind the curve to some. A 1947 Downbeat article by music writer Ralph Gleason, who would cover the city's jazz beat for years to come, was headlined, "Music in San Francisco is a Dead Duck." But a young pianist and his colleagues were about to change that. Dave Brubeck, newly returned from serving in World War II, enrolled at Mills College under the GI Bill and helped craft a modernistic sound for the Bay City area, first with his octet and then with his trio that anticipated or paralleled the rise of the 1950s Third Stream movement and Miles Davis's Birth of the Cool recordings. With saxophonist Paul Desmond, Brubeck would go on to form one of the most popular groups in jazz in the 1950s and 60s, landing on the cover of Time magazine and recording a best-selling jazz masterpiece, Time Out. And it all started with a circle of young experimentalists in late 1940s San Francisco. In the Brubeck Octet's arrangements, jazz writer Ted Joya finds that the strong melodic material of popular song is wedded to the broad harmonic palette of classical music, the resulting hybrid drenched in that irrepressible rhythmic vocabulary that only comes from jazz. The Dave Brubeck Octet with The Way You Look Tonight on Nightlights.
Thank you.
The Dave Brubeck Quartet and Cable Car, a piece Brubeck wrote after listening to San Francisco's cable cars throughout the night from his hotel room, from the 1964 album Time Changes. The Dave Brubeck Octet before that with The Way You Look Tonight, recorded at the end of the 1940s. After its slow evolution towards modernism, the San Francisco jazz scene began to thrive with the proliferation of record labels such as Fantasy, clubs like the Black Hawk, and homegrown artists like pianist Vince Guaraldi and vibraphonist Cal Jader, whose unique sounds gained wide popularity in the early 1960s. Guaraldi's engagingly lyrical brew of blues, bop, and boogie-woogie found its fullest development and exposure through the music he wrote and recorded for 15 Charlie Brown TV specials in the 1960s and 70s, while Jader became one of the city's earliest proponents of Latin jazz influences, culminating in his 1962 hit Soul Sauce. We'll hear a Jader combo at the Black Hawk in 1958 doing a Latinized version of Cole Porter's I Love Paris. After this 1956 recording from the Guaraldi-led trio that often performed at San Francisco's Hungry Eye, a bohemian North Beach club that also played a role in the rise of comedians Mort Saul and Lenny Bruce. Here's Vince Guaraldi's early composition, Fenwick's Farfel, on Nightlights. Thank you. Vibraphonist Cal Jader's group live at San Francisco's Blackhawk Club in 1958 doing I Love Paris with Vince Guaraldi on piano, Al McKibben on bass, Jose Silva on tenor sax, Willie Bobo on drums, and Mongo Santamaria on congas. Guaraldi before that with his mid-50s San Francisco trio doing his tune Fenwick's Farfel, Eddie Duran on guitar, and Dean Riley on bass. I'll have more San Francisco jazz in just a few moments. You can listen to previous Nightlights programs on our website at indianapublicmedia.org/nightlights. Production support comes from Landlocked Music CDs and Vinyl, offering new and used music LPs, CDs, DVDs, and turntables. Located at 202 North Walnut in Bloomington or online at landlockedmusic.com. And from the Laughing Planet Cafe, serving veggie burgers, salads, and burritos for lunch and dinner. The Laughing Planet Cafe, online at thelaughingplanetcafe.com. I'm David Brent Johnson, and you're listening to Jazz Scene San Francisco on Nightlights. I'm exploring the 20th century San Francisco jazz scene on this edition of Nightlights. San Francisco has been the setting for numerous popular songs, most notably I Left My Heart in San Francisco, written in 1953 by two World War II veterans who'd moved to Brooklyn from the West Coast and were feeling homesick for their origins. The song was pitched without success for 8 years until Tony Bennett's accompanist Ralph Sharon got a hold of it. Bennett's recording of the song was originally released as the B-side of a January 1962 single, but DJs soon flipped the record and began playing the tune for which Bennett and the city itself are now so widely known. We'll also hear Carmen McRae singing a lesser-known but differently evocative song about San Francisco. First, here's Tony Bennett at Carnegie Hall in 1962 as I Left My Heart in San Francisco was taking hold of the public on Nightlights.
It's a brand-new popular song now. The loveliness of Paris seems somehow sadly gray. The glory that was Rome is of another day. I was terribly alone and forgotten in Manhattan. I'm going home to my city by the bay. I left my heart in San Francisco. High on a hill, it calls to me to be where little cable cars climb halfway to the stars. The morning fog may chill the air. I don't care. My love waits there in San Francisco. Above the blue and windy sea, when I come home to Francisco. Your golden sun will shine for me.
I'm always drunk in San Francisco. I always stay out of my mind. But if you've been to San Francisco, they say that things like this go on all the time. Never happens nowhere else. Maybe it's the air. Can't really seem to help myself. And what's more, I don't care. I'm always drunk in San Francisco. I'm never feeling any pain. But tell me, why does San Francisco, just like a lover's kiss, go straight to my brain?
Carmen McRae and I'm Always Drunk in San Francisco, and Tony Bennett before that with a live 1962 performance of I Left My Heart in San Francisco. In addition to popular songs, San Francisco's cultural heritage gives place a pride to literary achievements, particularly the beat movement of the 1950s. Poet Lawrence Ferlinghetti Getty's City Lights bookstore became a focal point for the Beats, fighting legal battles after its publishing imprint released Allen Ginsberg's Howl in 1956. Numerous beat poets and writers either lived or spent time in the Bay Area, and their live performances became the stuff of legend, often intersecting with jazz. We'll hear Ferlinghetti Getty himself in this next set reading with jazz accompaniment at The Cellar, a popular performance space for other poets such as Kenneth Rexroth and jazz musician Brew Moore. But first, here's Jack Kerouac reading from a piece he wrote in the early 1950s that conjures the city's atmosphere when Kerouac was a young, unknown novelist working as a railroad brakeman and living in a Frisco hotel. October in the Railroad Earth on Nightlights.
There was a little alley in San Francisco, back of the Southern Pacific Station at 3rd and Townsend. In red brick of drowsy, lazy afternoons with everybody at work in offices, in the air you feel the impending rush of their commuter frenzy. As soon they'll be charging en masse from Market and Sansom buildings on foot and in buses and all well-dressed through working man Frisco of walk-up truck drivers. And even the poor grime bemarked Third Street of lost bums, even Negroes, so hopeless and long left east, and meanings of responsibility and try, that now all they do is stand there spitting in the broken glass, sometimes 50 in one afternoon against one wall at Third and Howard. Here's all these Milbrae and San Carlos, neat necktied producers and commuters of America and steel civilization, rushing by with San Francisco Chronicles and green call bulletins, not even enough time to be disdainful. They've got to catch 130, 132, 134, 136, all the way up to 146, till the time of evening supper in homes of the railroad earth, when high in the sky the magic stars ride above the following hotshot freight trains. It's all in California. It's all a sea. I swim out of it in afternoons of sun-hot meditation in my jeans with head on handkerchief on brakeman's lantern, or if not working, on book. I look up at blue sky of perfect lost purity and feel the warp of wood of old America beneath me. And I have insane conversations with Negroes in second-story windows above, and everything is pouring in. The switching moves of boxcars in that little alley, which is so much like the alleys of Lowell, and I hear far off in the sense of coming night that engine calling our mountains. But it was that beautiful cut of clouds I could always see above the little SP alley. Puffs floating by from Oakland, or the gate of Marin to the north, or San Jose south. The clarity of Cal to break your heart. It was the fantastic drowse and drum hum of lum mum afternoon, nothing to do. Old Frisco with end of land sadness. The people, the alley full of trucks and cars of businesses nearabouts. Nobody knew or far from cared who I was all my life, 3,500 miles from birth, all opened up and at last belonged to me in great America. Now it's night in Third Street. The keen little neons and also yellow bulb lights of impossible to believe flops, the dark ruined shadows moving back of torn yellow shades like a degenerate China with no money. The cats in Annie's alley, the flop comes on, moans, rolls. The street is loaded with darkness. Blue sky above with stars hanging high over old hotel roofs and blowers of hotels mooning out dusts of interior. The grime inside the word in mouths is falling out tooth by tooth. The reading rooms tick-tock big clock with creak chair and slant boards and old faces looking up over rimless spectacles bought in some West Virginia or Florida or Liverpool, England pawn shop long before I was born. And across rains, they've come to the end of the land sadness, end of the world gladness. All your San Franciscos will have to fall eventually and burn again.
This is the statue of St. Francis. It really happened. They were putting up the statue of St. Francis in front of the church of St. Francis in the city of San Francisco, in a little side street just off the avenue where no birds sang. And the sun was coming up on time in its usual fashion and just beginning to shine on the statue of St. Francis where no birds sang. And a lot of old Italians were standing all around in the little side street just off the avenue, watching the wily workers who were hoisting up the statue with a chain and a crane and other implements. And a lot of young reporters in button-down clothes were taking down the words of one young priest who was propping up the statue with all his arguments. And all the while no bird sang any St. Francis passion, and while the lookers kept looking up at St. Francis with his arms outstretched to the birds which weren't there, a very tall and very purely naked young virgin with very long and very straight straw hair, and wearing only a very small bird's nest in a very existential place, kept passing through the crowd all the while, and up and down the steps in front of St. Francis, her eyes downcast all the while, and singing to herself.
Poet and City Lights bookstore proprietor Lawrence Ferlin Getty reading his Statue of St. Francis with jazz accompaniment at the Cellar, a late 1950s San Francisco club. Jack Kerouac before that with an excerpt from his reading of October and the Railroad Earth, evoking San Francisco in the early 1950s when Kerouac was living and working there as a railroad brakeman. Steve Allen heard there on piano. The Beats presaged San Francisco's hippie and psychedelic movement of the 1960s, and jazz writer Ralph Gleason caught the changing vibe in an article proclaiming the city as America's Liverpool, with bands such as Jefferson Airplane and the Grateful Dead emerging from its growing countercultural movement. San Francisco saxophonist John Handy, already a veteran musician who'd played with Charles Mingus and recorded several albums as a leader, also reflected the times with his quintet, which caused a sensation at the 1965 Monterey Jazz Festival with its unusual blend of saxophone, violin, and electric guitar. The quintet's sound remained rooted in jazz, but also appealed to younger rock audiences, and the following they developed at San Francisco's Both and Club blossomed into a wider popularity. From the second John Handy album, recorded in 1966, a year before San Francisco's Summer of Love, here's Theme X on Nightlights.
Thank you.
San Francisco saxophonist John Handy and Theme X from the second John Handy album. Michael White on violin, Jerry Hahn on guitar, Don Thompson on bass, and Terry Clark on drums, recorded in 1966. San Francisco's jazz scene, like many others around the United States, fluctuated in the years from the 1970s to the early 21st century. Today, the SF Jazz Collective organization and building enshrines an ongoing cultural commitment to the creation and performance of jazz, a commitment that was most embodied in the 1970s and early 80s by promoter Todd Barkin's Keystone Corner Club, described by its owner as a bona fide psychedelic jazz club that emerged out of the post-psychedelic era in San Francisco, right out of Flower Children and Haight-Ashbury. Just down the street from a police station, hence its Keystone Cops-inspired name, Barkin's Club became known as the Birdland of the West for its ongoing presentation of top-notch jazz talent. Keystone Corner will be the sole subject of a future Nightlights program. I'll end this one with a 1973 performance from the club featuring Rahsaan Roland Kirk on Nightlights. With Rahsaan Roland Kirk performing Jitterbug Waltz at San Francisco's Keystone Corner in 1973. Thanks for tuning in this edition of Nightlights. Production support comes from Landlocked Music CDs and Vinyl, offering new and used music LPs, CDs, DVDs, and turntables. Located at 202 North Walnut in Bloomington or online at landlockedmusic.com. And from the Laughing Planet Cafe, serving veggie burgers, salads, and burritos for lunch and dinner at the corner of Kirkwood and Grant in Bloomington. The Laughing Planet Cafe, online at thelaughingplanetcafe.com. Nightlights is a production of WFIU and part of the educational mission of Indiana University. I'm David Brent Johnson, wishing you good listening for the week ahead.